Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 20 minutes.
So, Daniel.
Hey, Caleb.
Hey, bud.
How's it going?
It's actually going great.
How's the foot?
The foot is not so hot, but that's all right. It's puffy and blue, but and I have been putting it. You know, you're supposed to rest, ice, ooh, something.
I haven't really been doing that. So elevate.
Yeah, I got to do that. How's you?
I'm good. My feet are good.
Good.
Cool. So what are we talking about?
We should talk about PHP unit.
PHP unit. I agree. So the format I kind of suggested earlier was PHP unit wish lists, because I think we'd both had recently been talking about things we wish were different about PHP unit.
Yeah.
Or we wish that PHP unit could do. Do you want to start?
Sure. Disclaimer, anytime we do some wish lists, like, we want everybody to grant our wishes on Twitter and tell us that these things already exist. And
yeah, I'm 90% sure some of these exist.
I'm sure. And I don't know PHP unit's implementation in Storm, so I'm sure there'll be some dude that's super easy in Storm. And maybe even other PHP testing frameworks like Codeception and Behap. But I think they all rely on PHP unit, like, at some level. I don't know. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
Wish list. What do you got?
Wish list. What you got? Oh, you want to start with it? Okay. So I have a wish list item. Let's start with an easy one that's already been granted. Running a large test suite is very slow, and all have multiple cores in our computers, and they're capable of multi-threaded processing. And we were like getting blocked on like these really slow tests, and while the really slow tests are running, none of the fast tests can run when you're working in that single thread of the workflow. And so Jose went out and found this awesome repo, and I want to get the name of it right before I say it, but I believe it was called Paratest.
That sounds right.
Which basically does that, runs, Paratest. So Paratest basically allows you to pick like the number of threads that you want to run PHP unit in, and it just like runs like a threaded version of your test suite.
Sweet.
Which is awesome. There's a few weaknesses, but in general it works well.
Do you know the weaknesses? I remember this thing kind of being introduced on Twitter a while back when somebody like Taylor discovered it, or somebody discovered it and showed it to Taylor and everybody was tweeting about it, but there was some limitation.
Database transactions.
What is it? Database transactions.
It's database transactions.
Gotcha.
That I've had failures randomly occur that I couldn't reproduce because two things wrote
problems
to the same part of the right, concurrency database transactions. But it's a cool concept. And I think it would work fine with SQLite, or you could make it work fine with SQLite.
Okay.
Right? You could just copy your SQLite database for each thread.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I've never dug into it. I should. I'm working in a code base right now that has a really slow test suite. So,
how long does it take to run the test suite?
Maybe a minute and maybe...
That's not slow.
Yeah, maybe close to 2 minutes. Yeah, it's not super slow. You know why it's not super slow? Because it's not fully tested. So that are tested are really slow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had longer. Yeah. But even 2 minutes, that's, you know. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. But he said he got his from 5 minutes to 30 seconds or something. Just pretty dope. Sweet.
Sure. I want to talk about setup method. So you had a epiphany recently.
Okay.
Which was like, setup method is a bad thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. maybe I misinterpreted it, but basically what I heard you say was, I'm not doing setup methods anymore. I'm just making things in the tests.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I need setup methods for stuff, but for the most part, yeah. Like, I think what I said was, like, when you set things as properties for the whole test, actually, I was just reading somebody's test the other day that, like, the test suite pretty much did the whole test, set a bunch of properties, and then each test method was just different assertions on it with, like, different names, and it, you know, that's an extreme case of what, why I don't like fat setup methods, but okay. Yeah.
I don't like the setup method for other reasons.
Okay.
Now, I want to pick your brain and see if you have any of the same assumptions that I had about things with regards to this. So, why would a person use a setup method in a test?
So, I mean, you use it, like, under the hood in your, like, abstracted test case things to do setup, like mocking out an exception handler, booting up the Laravel application, starting up a database transaction or migration and stuff like that.
Okay. So why wouldn't you just do that? Say you have five test methods in a class, right? And say it's not like a base class, right? It's actually just like its own class, right?
Yeah.
What is, like, say it's like post-test, right?
Yeah.
What is this? What is the use case for post-test setup?
Yeah. Maybe to, I don't know, to do some sort of, like, you're saying that there is a base test that does, like, the system bootstrapping stuff? Or the
All of that stuff's happened.
Oh, okay,
right?
Gotcha. I heard you saying.
Assume that you're good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I would say nothing.
Okay. Because, like, here is an assumption that I had at one point, which was, like, oh, you put any, like, repeated work that's going to happen in all of the tests in the setup method.
Yeah.
But the issue is, I thought I was saving time by doing that because I thought that work was only going to be done once, but the setup method runs on every test method.
Yeah.
And not only that, your properties get wiped and reset on every test method.
Right.
Like your class properties.
Can you...
There is no way
to toggle like preserve...
You can... No.
Oh, preserve static.
Yeah, there is,
right.
And it doesn't work.
Right, I know what you're saying. Yep. Okay.
And then, so what
but
you can do
you
is you can do depends on...
You can
on,
run subsequent tests with annotations. You can, like, set up PHP unit to run in a specific order, and I believe take the return from one test as the input to another.
Well, you can do this whole, like, depends on thing.
Yeah.
You can mark a test method as, like, depends on another test method.
Right.
In which case it won't reset between them.
Okay.
And okay, so like TDD rules, right? Like everything should run in isolation, right?
Yeah,
theoretically.
Sure. Okay.
So that's why they do this is like, okay, well, we're going to wipe everything so that you're like actually running tests in isolation so that you know that you're not cross-contaminating anything. The issue is like, I don't know. Like we came upon this test suite that ran in 5+ minutes, right?
Okay.
And our job was to make it fast. And so one of the things we discovered is that like all of the tests in this thing were written in under the assumption that the setup method was only going to run once. And so there were just these like these people had really, really, really optimized these tests if the setup method only ran once.
Yep.
But because it was running 17 times in this class, it was not optimized, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, long story short, like that's a really hard ball of yarn to untangle. And I really wish there was a way to just like flag a class as setup method only runs once.
Right. There's the before annotate, you know, the like the before class stuff.
Runs every time.
Really?
Oh, before class. Yeah, before class is there, but then you don't have access to the app that you bootstrapped. Right? Because that runs before the setup method.
Couldn't... Yeah, the app that you bootstrapped gets like bootstrapped in a before class, right? Or does it get bootstrapped in every setup and every method?
No, it gets must bootstrapped be in setup method.
In the setup method. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Because of that, you're... You know what I'm saying?
Right. I know
and the before class is static. So you have to follow all the rules of staticness.
Right, okay. Yep, yep, okay. So where are you going with this?
So all I'm saying is wish list. I want either an ability to mark a setup method as runs once for the entire class.
Okay.
Or the ability to have a method that runs before a class runs that isn't static.
And you're positive that this doesn't exist? Because there's two befores. There's like, isn't there like before yep. class and the, isn't there two befores?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've gone through it all. There's no way to do it.
You've gone through it all. Okay.
Huh. It's not there.
Okay.
I've right. read a lot of PHP unit documentation yeah. recently. And like, it's just not there.
I ran into a similar thing. I think we might have talked about this. So
the test suite thing.
A test suite thing, yeah. So I basically...
Great. I knew you would bring this up. Please tell me about it.
So here's the deal. A client wanted a test suite for their site, and it was a standalone application whose sole purpose was to run Dusk tests against their site, right?
Very good.
So that was my project, was a clean Greenfield Laravel app whose sole purpose was running Dusk tests. But because it was that, like, it was sort of like their acceptance test control panel thing. And, you know, I could have taken it a lot of places, like maybe give it a GUI where you can hit a play button and then it would run these Dusk tests in the background and like WebSocket report the progress and all that type of thing. But basically what I needed to do, there were a couple things I couldn't. Okay, so I guess here's a good place to start with this. I couldn't guarantee that the whole test would pass every time because of timeouts and other JavaScript related stuff that I didn't have control over. So
okay.
I couldn't guarantee that it would pass every time, and I didn't want him getting false negatives from a report, you know. So I also had to generate some sort of notification that the whole test suite run failed, so that him okay. you know, so that like their team would get an email or something notifying them of this, right? So sure. So there's this problem that, like, okay, I needed to store some state about the whole test suite so I could do some sort of threshold or, you know, failure tolerance, like run the whole test suite, if it fails run it again, you know, and then the whoever configures the app could configure, like, I want a tolerance of 3 so that after 3 failures I get notified, 3 consecutive failures.
Sure.
Yep. Okay, does this all make sense?
It makes total sense.
And I wanted a bunch of other things, like I wanted to be able to report, so I wanted to be able to log like the amount of time the whole test suite run took.
Sure.
And some other things like that. So maybe that's a better place to start, is somehow the problem is, how do you report on the amount of time your PHP unit test suite took to run? Mm-hmm. So you could, without like scraping command line output and stuff like that, you mm-hmm. know, write in your code. And so I ran into the same problem. There's, you know, there's befores, there's all that stuff. And it's like super ridiculously difficult to get some piece of code in PHP unit that runs at the beginning of the test suite run and at the end of the test suite run. That's mm-hmm. the problem, that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And I think that's
right.
And that I could see that being useful in a lot of ways. I'm sure yep. maybe they took it out because of rope. I don't know. But so here's the hack. Here's what I came to. Bootstrap.php file. So
yep.
you know, in your PHP unit XML, you specify the bootstrap file that'll run.
I sure do.
That runs at the beginning of your test suite.
Yep.
So, right. So Laravel's bootstrap PHP file, I don't even know what Laravel's is like, but basically what I did was I just added, oh, so then in PHP, you can register like SPL autoload something, like you can register a callback that runs when the PHP app is finished. Sorry, when the PHP script is like done, when the like the life cycle of the PHP, you know, process is over.
Okay.
Okay. So that's it. You have a bootstrap file where you can set a variable or some static global or whatever called time now or whatever, and then you could register a callback in this that autoload PHP shut. It might not even be autoload. It's like a PHP shutdown callback, and then mm-hmm. in that callback, you could then you do all your reporting for your final stuff. Getting gotcha. Intel into the actual app, like if you boot up like a Laravel app instance in that bootstrap file, and then I think that's what I had to do. I had to register, like, oh my gosh, I had to like boot up a Laravel app, and then I had to like hook into it and register some like some hooks into it with some provider or something with a callback, right, and all of this in the Bootstrap file, and then like fire off a finish event or like a finish method in that PHP wrap-up callback. Okay, that was a lot of talking. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah. I wanted to do something kind of similar, also to do with this big test case. So this test case depended on a database being a certain way, right?
Okay, yep.
It was all these tests are using database transactions, and there's like a zero state that all of these tests were written to, right? Okay. Where like, because there's a lot of tables that like, there's a table, for example, that is all of the abbreviations for the states.
Right, yep.
That table exists. There's all these little tables. So they wanted to seed all of that data before they ran the test.
Right.
So basically, I wanted to build that into the PHP unit lifecycle for onboarding purposes, because like it was kind of like a complicated series of things that you had to run to get there.
Okay. Yep.
So I was trying to like basically set up like a little hook at the beginning of PHP unit that would be like, you know, nuke the database, run these migrations and seeders, and right, then like run the test suite.
Okay.
It's harder than you would think. I'll have to
send you what I have. That Bootstrap PHP file.
You did send me what you had.
And it didn't do it.
It didn't, because, and this is the hard thing, is like, and this is kind of where I gave up. So they have multiple databases, and I couldn't figure out how. So like, you don't have a persistent Laravel app at that point, right? In your before you, method.
You do, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean? I have a Laravel app.
I thought you didn't. You have a Laravel app already?
Yeah, I made it. Huh. To like require Bootstrap app.php.
Oh, right. Then, you made a different Laravel app than actually gets run in the setup. That was the issue. I needed access to the Laravel app.
Wait, but I feel like
I had access to.
I did that somehow, because that was the problem. Was like, I had to make
the Laravel app versus a Laravel app.
Right, because you can just make a Laravel app. I needed something. Oh man, it was crazy. It was totally crazy.
It was crazy. This is what this, yeah, I had this exact same experience. I was like, oh, this is crazy. I give up.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, because I needed to use Facade. Okay. So I had this singleton that mm-hmm. was in charge of managing my test run. And so it had a start and end function, and it was a singleton. So I ran the start in the Bootstrap file and then the end in that callback, which I'm actually looking at it. It's register shutdown function in PHP. So okay. I had that, but inside of it, I needed to fire off an email. So I wanted to use Laravel's mailer with everything. So maybe I did create a separate app and somehow like inject it. Yeah, I like injected it into the singleton when I started it up. And then, oh my gosh. Yeah, and then I could use that app. Yeah. Right. Then I could use that app to do stuff from an app, but it wasn't the same app. So, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so I needed to do a bunch of stuff like switching back and forth between database connections and like dropping tables and then, you know, like all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was all dependent on like config stuff.
Right. You could still do that.
You could still do it, but like I got to a point where I was like, I've spent too much time on this. I don't want to waste any more time.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, definitely.
Figuring it out, you know. Yep. But it got crazy pretty quick. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't really remember what broke, but it was something along the lines of like that when the app actually booted up, like the DB connections were different or something. I don't remember.
Hmm. Gotcha. Like it was set in something somewhere later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where it happened, okay, but that was like the brand of issue I was having.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Let's put that down as a limitation of PHP unit, to our knowledge.
Yeah.
Is,
but that's also partly a limitation of the Laravel implementation of PHP unit, right? Which is that the app, the Laravel app, actually just gets spun up on every setup method instead of getting spun up on the suite.
Right. And I'm sure that's intentional because of there's in your test you might be manipulating the app. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. But you're right. I don't know. I'm trying to think if a standard Laravel app, I think the standard Laravel app just uses Bootstrap app.php, so it It does create.
Seems like there should just be a trait called requires fresh app
autoload
that you could drop into a test that would cause it to boot right. up a new app.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. If it was possible, yeah, that would be great. I'm just going to look.
I'm sure we're
quick
like breaking a couple of TDD rules by wanting these things.
Yeah,
but
for
I don't
sure.
really
That's
care.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
PHP unit uses Bootstrap autoload. Right. So Laravel's Bootstrap file is just an autoload file that just like calls the composer autoloader. It doesn't call Bootstrap app. So yeah, word. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Yeah. So limitation wish list. I got a bunch more little ones. So many little things. So for starters, running tests. How do you run your unit tests? And we're all friends here. It's okay if you pull up a terminal and you type PHP unit and then file name.
Yeah, that is one of the two things that I do. Recently, I also use the little extension in VS Code.
Okay, right. Okay, gotcha. So
I also have that Puff alias that I use a lot.
Oh, yeah. What is Puff?
PHP unit filter.
PHP unit and filter. Nice. Yeah, that's good. I got to get that. That's good. So I always did that. And then Adam released that thing with David Hemphill, their like Sublime PHP unit package. And you could just...
I use that sometimes when I'm using Sublime.
Okay, yeah. I used it all the time, and it was great because you could have your cursor in a method and hit run method, and it would like find the method name and pull up your terminal and run the test. But there are some issues with it outside of the fact that I'm on VS Code now. Issue number one, what it does, it pulls up it pulls up your terminal in a separate window, which is kind of like meh. And the command it uses is it uses cd, and then it like cds into the absolute path. So if there's like, sometimes you have this issue if you're like, if you're trying to run like unit tests on like the Laravel framework that's not like an actual Laravel app, for some reason, running Adam and David's package like CDs me into my root directory and just leaves me there and fails.
I've had that. Yep.
And there's other weird things like if you already have something written in the terminal and then you run that command, like it puts it on top of like a space you had in your terminal and then it fails. You know, there's so many little things that, yeah.
Many things.
Exactly. Sing it. So switching to VS Code, the VS Code PHP unit plugin is, because there's an integrated terminal, well, it doesn't use the integrated terminal. It uses the output, but I think I'm running into the same problem that you were maybe about to say, is that when you run it in VS Code with that PHP unit plugin, you get no colors.
Go on. Yes.
Which is a bummer.
So that sounds like a VS Code issue.
Yeah,
right?
But I worked around it. What's the... Yeah.
Are you booting up a terminal in that output thing?
Yes.
That
I'm leveraging color? Tasks. And I made yesterday... So I've been hitting this VS Code PHP unit hackery pretty hard.
You've been hitting it hard.
Pretty hard, yeah. My wife is out of town, and I did a late night thing yesterday.
You are VS Code.
I'm while your inside wife is out of town. VS Code. But there's the, you know, the problems thing in the left.
Yep.
Let me back up. You can write to output in VS Code extensions, which is that thing with no colors. You could also boot up a new terminal and run a command. But what I'm doing is using tasks, and tasks are pretty much used for this a lot. Like the built-in tasks are like npm run test or npm run dev. And it just basically runs the task in a new terminal that doesn't have a cursor. It's just kind of a terminal that's kind of sandboxy, but it has colors. So so anyway, right now on my machine, I have working a run PHP unit test, and it pulls up a terminal type thing in VS Code and runs the test with colors. So step one. Yeah.
That's nice. So here's a thing that that PHP Storm has that we don't have yet.
Okay.
Just run the test that failed last time.
Right. Yeah. I want to talk about that. Here's what I don't know anything about it. I just saw somebody's like PHP Storm setting that was like run test failures again or something. So what I would guess that it does, and this is probably really stupid to even guess, but it's when you run a suite, you can, well, like, I guess my question is, does it automatically run it again, just the failures, or is it like there's a new command, like run failures, or is it, oh, you run the suite and then you run, yeah, you run a new command that says, like, I don't know. Tell me what it does.
Yeah, that's probably what it does. But, well, like, in PHP unit, like, there's a whole different frame that's, like, your test runner, right?
Yep.
And in that frame, like, you get, like, a nice, like, collapsible list of test classes that have failures in them and which methods failed. Blah,
seriously?
Blah, blah. And there's, like, a little refresh button that's just, like, run all of the failed tests again.
Oof.
And, like, then those little red icons turn into little spinning icons while they're running, and then they turn green or red again.
That is slick.
It's so slick.
That is
slick. Like, it's not a terminal at all. It's, like, an actual GUI.
Wow. So, here's the best we can do in VS Code. So, VS Code has that problems output thing that shows you, like, if there's, like, a syntax error, it, like, registers a problem, and it shows you, like, the error, like, the name of the message, the problem message, and the file and the line and the column, right? It's like basic, basic little thing. You can expand and collapse. And if you click on one, it takes you to that spot in your editor, right?
Sure.
So you can't write to that directly as an API, to my knowledge. I think you can. Anyway, you can register problem matchers. So what I can do is create this plugin that runs your PHP unit, test suite, and then regexes through the output, and then and then basically registers problems in that problem panel so that you can just see, like, at a glance all the failed tests and then just click on one and it'll take you to the failed assertion on that line.
And then can you write tasks that take the problems as input?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not, but in the task...
But those problems exist somewhere, right? Like, those problems exist in some sort of an array of existing problems,
I honestly don't know how to get them. I was digging into the API. The VS Code, like, extension stuff is, it's easy, but it's, like, it's hard.
Weird.
It's weird, and it's all TypeScript, so I'm, like, and I'm writing in JavaScript, so it's really hard to, like, parse the two, and there's a lot of things are undocumented, and it's changing a lot, and there's a lot of open source, like, I don't know. Anyway, it's not like, here's how you write to the problem thing. It's, like, I don't even know. So, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that
so
that would be good.
So there's no support, as far as you know, for adding panels, GUI panels to the left-hand side in plugins.
You can. You can write to... So you know the left bar, like the Explorer bar that shows you... And it has like... You know in all the left bars, there's those like expandable title header things?
Yes.
You can create those from extensions.
Okay.
So that might be something.
That's what you want to do.
Man.
That's where you want to do it. Is in one of those in PHP unit.
Right.
And then
code,
you
want to.
So, like, imagine, like, in the debug bar, right?
Okay.
Or, like, in the debug panel. Or, wait, can you make your own, like, icon level, like, top level side panel? Or can you only make, like,
no,
a sub?
No, I don't think you can do that. That would be WordPress all over again.
products.
Yeah.
Custom post types.
Yeah.
ACF repeater.
Mm.
Anyway, the
I do have ACF repeater. I bought it.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
You
I
gotta
own
buy it
shit.
If you're working. If you're
I
doing...
own ACF repeater.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
Yeah. Straight.
What a
up.
Great CMS. My gosh.
Oh man.
Sheesh.
Something like that. So anyway.
Anyway.
What I was getting at is, so you could build a panel inside of the debug panel.
Right.
The larger debug panel, you could build a sub panel, which would be tests.
Yep.
Right?
I think I don't know. Sure.
Okay. Let's say perfect world, right?
Perfect world.
Perfect world, you could build
do what you're talking about.
Sub panel in there that's test, and then have a run button and a refresh button and a clear button.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, let's do that.
And then you could display things in different colors based on whether they passed or
that
failed.
Would be
and
nutso.
You can we already know that you can expand and collapse things in those panels because the debugger does it already.
Yep. Yeah. That's crazy.
Really
that's like
a whole new
section of the
paradigm.
Extension API that I haven't even like gone yet. It's all asynchronous,
dude.
So it's like crazy hard to wrap your head around for me. I don't know. There's so much asynchronicity in these extensions. When they get booted up, they're just in time booted up. That's so like, which is actually good to know that it's not like all these extensions that you have just like bog down your code. You know, they like they run when they need to.
Yeah, I think that might be the difference between PHP Storm and VS Code. Maybe if PHP Storm would just do that, we could use it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. So wish list. I think I have another one, right, which PHP Storm covers all this stuff. Here's one. When you run a test suite, let's say it's your 5-minute long test suite, okay?
Sure.
And you're crossing your fingers because you just fixed everything. Everything should work. You run the test suite and you see an F halfway through.
Oh, I know exactly what you're about to say.
Don't, right? Like, and if you control C, you don't know what that F is. Like, where's that F?
Right.
So you have to wait the full 5 minutes to get your error message.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there not a like some answer to that, you know?
Yeah, there should just be a log.
You feel me, dog?
Which ones? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There should be some sort of exit. Like,
well, okay. Here's a thought. Here's a thought. Okay. Assuming that this command exists to rerun failed tests, could you control C out and then run that command?
Oh, right, to rerun failed tests? Probably not. I don't know. I have no idea. No.
I don't know.
No. Not at least the one that I would write in code would be basically parsing out PHP unit output, and PHP unit output just gives you a red F in the dots. It doesn't give you any like,
No. But we're saying I think so that there is actually a PHP unit operand that you could like an argument that you could throw at PHP unit that just is like run failed tests. I think someone tweeted it at me, but I just looked through my notifications and I can't find it.
They you must look it that up immediately.
All right.
Yeah,
fine.
For sure.
All right. Tweetbot. I didn't want to open Tweetbot is the issue because that's
no. You don't have
I
to look it up on the show. You could, but
well, I'm doing it.
You're doing
you have
it.
Any other requests while I'm looking for it?
Wish list items.
Yeah.
I had a bunch written down, but it was in the VS Code editor that's like running my test plugin, and then it just like destroyed itself. So, shoot.
Gotcha.
That was one. I don't know. Yeah, I guess essentially like, I think I'm done scrolling through piles of error traces that are all the same color and having to find like the file and then going into Sublime and command shift ping or command ping to find that file and then at symbol to find the method or line number colon to get the line, you know, like that whole loop like has cost me so much over time and I'm ready to evolve.
Yep. Okay. I cannot find this tweet.
Okay. All right. Any other VS Code or sorry, PHP unit wishes? Wish lists.
That's the thing. See, this is why we did. So we were talking about maybe doing like the differences between greenfield and brownfield projects today.
Yeah.
But the reason I think it makes sense for us to do PHP unit today is that it touches on VS Code, and anything we're going to talk about today is going to be about VS Code, because I'm
just
using it,
up.
And Caleb's using it, and Caleb's like making it his entire existence right now. It's complicated, and we love the current state we're in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that hang on. Let's real quick before we sign off. Let's like actually describe how you feel about VS Code in general right now.
I'm okay.
Because I think I don't want to be misunderstood.
Yeah, right. Me neither.
You know,
same
that's
thing.
That's something I don't
I think we
that's
feel
something
the same.
I don't want for myself.
I'm not like VS Code is the best. Sublime sucks, although I keep it you would sort of glean, I don't know, you would think that from my tweets that are like, this is so much better than it was in Sublime, because I know what was good in Sublime, you know, I'm not like, I don't know, I'm focusing on what's good in VS Code. I am not all about VS Code. There's tons of pain points, like the debugger. I can't get Xdebug to work in a microserviced architecture, which is like makes it almost useless for me.
Isn't that an Xdebug issue?
No,
I think you need to try running
it's not an
Xdebug outside
issue.
Of VS Code.
I am. Oh, you mean like no?
Yeah.
It's a threading issue with VS Code. Yeah, it's weird. I know.
Interesting.
It's weird. It's okay. Xdebug is used to that sort of thing, but
yeah. Anyway, we've gone into the weeds.
Yeah, we've gone into the weeds. Overall, I mean, it's still sexy to me. It's new. It's fun. I don't know. I think I'm done with Sublime. I really think I'm done with it. It does everything I needed to do, and I've been... A lot of it is that I didn't go to such great lengths to customize Sublime as I am for VS Code. And so that is why I love VS Code. But I could... That love could be projected on anything I dug this deep into, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure I could get into Storm and adore it. The only thing that I could... I mean, there's so many... I don't know. It seems like the logical thing for me to do is to get into Storm. But I don't know. This is where my heart is right now. But I'm not an evangelist, for sure. Definitely not. But I want to be the guy that makes VS Code really good for PHP, because it's really good for JavaScript, and I want to bring some of that love to PHP, and that's my place right now.
Yeah, man. So you made one plugin already, right?
Yeah, I did. I didn't release it, but somebody Jacob Bathman. He tweeted like, "Hey, I'm trying code. Like, here's all my issues." And one of them was like, the PHP CS fixer sucks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like casually like, "Oh yeah, check out my plugin for PHP CX." This is the only plugin I wrote.
Yeah.
It seemed like I just have all these plugins in my back pocket, which is not the case. But yeah, the PHP CX fixer plugins for VS Code didn't do what I wanted them to do. They like did all these other things, and I just wanted a thing that would be exactly like me typing PHP CS fixer into my terminal and using my PHP underscore CS dist file config file automatically, mm-hmm. and just do just that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all it is. I mean, that's what it is. So sweet. I made it, and it's out there.
Cool.
It's called Simple PHP CS Fixer if you're looking to use it.
What are you working on now?
I'm working on I'm calling it, unless somebody tells me this is conceited, but I'm going to call it Better PHP Unit for VS Code or whatever.
Good.
So Better PHP Unit.
I'm fine with that.
You're going to get colors. You're going to get problem output. You're going to be able to run methods, tests, all sorts of good stuff.
You might get a panel in version 2.
And maybe a panel in V2. That would be sick.
Cool. All right. My overall position on VS Code, I know this is a PHP Unit issue, but you know what? Screw it. My overall feeling on VS Code, I like it. It's fun. Part of the thing that I really like about it is that I found this color theme that I've never had anywhere else that you hate and I love.
Oh, your dark chocolate? Like,
no, it's just black.
Oh.
It's just black, and all of the panels just have a one-pixel teal line as a border. It's incredible.
It makes me feel hideous.
Alive. It makes me feel so good.
There is something deeply different about us.
Yeah, anyway, this makes me feel great. So part of it is that. Part of it is, if anybody had given me Xdebug in any context, I would have felt great. And I did feel great when I was doing it in PHP Storm. That felt great.
Mm-hmm.
I just was unable to use PHP Storm's editor.
Like, right.
It's just not a code editor that I can use as a human being.
Yep.
And so I, at your recommendation, installed the Sublime Text key mappings in VS Code. I have no problems except for the one weird cursor bug that I have had one time, which I can't reproduce. But now, did you see Jake Bathman?
Yeah, I did. This is like an urban legend now. I don't buy into this. This isn't okay. You're like,
okay,
there's something that happened somewhere. I don't know what it was, but I know it was a problem, and that's why I don't like VS Code's editor or VS Code's multi-line.
No, I didn't say I don't like it. I do like it.
No, I do like it. Yeah, I know. But then Jake's like, yeah, my problem with VS Code is Daniel's problem. Didn't he say that? He was like, the multi-cursor problem Daniel talked about.
He's just listing a list of potential downsides of switching to VS Code. And I think that would you argue that a potential problem is not a potential downside?
I'm like, this is crazy. This is like Bigfoot, this problem. I'm in the editor today,
Okay. But listen,
I had
about
two
buying
things.
A cabin in the woods in upstate Washington, right? Would you say that you would or would not take into account rumors of Bigfoot?
Absolutely, I would be a fool not to. Which is why today,
that's all I'm saying.
Today in my editor, I had something. I had two things selected, and then I went to. I was on autopilot, like you're saying. This is something you only come across when your subconscious is in control, and I thought I was pasting one line, and it pasted two lines, and then I had the shock moment of like, oh, did I just see Bigfoot? Like, was this the thing, the fabled problem with Fiasco's multi-line implementation, logical implementation? Yeah. And then I was like, no, I just copied multiple lines. That would happen in Peach or in Sublime too. I must be seeing things. So, so we'll see.
Who knows?
It's out
Who
there.
Who knows?
Oh man!
Report back, everyone. So here's the thing. I play a lot of PS4. Stuff and there's a really nice feature of the PS4. There's a share button, and at any point you can press it and save the last 15 minutes of whatever you were doing as a video.
Whoa,
I wish I could do that.
That's crazy.
On my computer, I want like a running buffer where I can just at any point say, like, wait, capture the last 15 minutes as a video so I can go back and like watch what just happened.
That would be great,
with like keystrokes and everything. Wouldn't that be sick?
That would be pretty sick. Yeah. You should build a VS Code plugin for it.
Yeah.
You know? Just
TypeScript, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, TypeScript can do it. Yep. All right, that was 20 minutes.
It was great. Quick, crisp 20 minutes. Good thing we got to This Week in PRs this week.
Yeah. I don't think What about those PRs?
What about you think we should maybe change the intro so it doesn't say less than 20 minutes, since we've never actually done less than 20 minutes?
Nah.
All right. Cool. See ya.
See ya.
Shout out to Jared White for providing this music.